Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home for your next Disney or Universal vacation, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show's also being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. Let us book your next Disney vacation, Universal vacation, or any other vacation you can dream of at americantouristtravel.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal Studios, or anywhere else in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, the Wilderness Lodge, the Animal Kingdom, Old Key West, Saratoga, you know them all, guys. Contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at dvcrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined with a new buddy today. Hey, John Peters, pull up a stool. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you guys?
I'm doing well. My buddy Dan, he had to take the week off. He had a couple other things he had to handle today, so we figured we'd do a food and wine kind of trip report with you. Are you up for that, John?
Sounds good to me.
I'm even buying the margaritas today.
That sounds real good, then.
You can leave the tip, though.
All right.
Make sure you do.
You betcha.
That's a must here at the Main Street Pub. So, but I want to get into a little news real quick. I wanted to ask you, because this would have been flying around, which is that time of the year, the annual pass hike. Well, how does that affect you at all, John?
We have the regular annual pass. We pay, do the monthly payments on it. And so I don't think it's going to affect us a whole lot. Might go up a couple of bucks per ticket, and I guess it's the gold one that we'll end up with.
Okay. Because they have the Platinum Plus and then the regular Platinum, which do you guys do any blackout dates or you do every time you want to go?
Yeah, the one we had didn't have any blackout dates, but I thought the new way they have it is that we may not be able to go on Christmas Day and New Year's Day and stuff like that, but...
Yeah, because there's one now, the regular Platinum and then the Platinum Plus. The Platinum Plus is everything in the water parks, and then the Platinum is every day, and you don't get the water parks. And then there's the next step down, I think they just went to, which is the Silver, where there's a ton more blackout dates. Like, there's Christmas, there's New Year's, and then there's a big block during spring break and a big block during the summer.
Yeah, that used to be the seasonal pass, and that's the one we've traditionally got, but that usually never had parking with it. So we'll probably go with the best one that has parking included. So probably the Platinum, not the Platinum Plus, I would imagine.
Yeah, because I don't see you getting in your bathing suit once a week to go into the water parks.
Actually, I would absolutely love it, but I can't get my son or my wife to any interest at all. But yeah, actually, I worked at Wet n' Wild when I was a kid down here, so I absolutely love going to the beach and the water parks, but I can't get anybody to go with me. So.
No, well, when we get down there, me, you, and Dan, we'll get a couple margaritas and we'll hit Summit Plumbing. How's that sound?
That sounds like a blast.
So, how's the weather there today? Hot?
Yeah, it's going to get warm again today and humid, that's for sure. So.
Yeah, we woke up here today, John. It was like 48 degrees.
Oof.
It made me sad, man. I let the dog out and he walked out, and because we have him shaved for the summer. His hair's finally growing back in. He walked out that door, looked over his shoulder, said, wait by the door, because I'm not going to be long. You know, usually when it gets spring and fall, he likes to roam around out there for a bit. What you could see today, he was like down, did his business. He was back in the door. I held on to the knob. That's how long it took him. He's like, the cold's back, Pop. I do not like it. So, and then the other thing, did you hear about the new Chef Art Smith? It's called Homecoming, the new restaurant coming to Downtown Disney.
No, I didn't see anything about that.
Yeah, he's a celebrity chef. He's on the Food Network. He has restaurants all over the place, and he's opening a new restaurant in Disney Springs. It's going to be called Homecoming, and it's supposed to open, believe it or not, in the summer of 2016. I mean, there's things popping up all over the place in Disney Springs. I can't wait to get back down there.
Yeah, every time we head down there, just about every other week or so, just to walk around, and it seems like there's something new open every time we head over there, so...
Yeah, it's supposed to be 6,000 square feet, 200 seats. It's going to be a pretty big restaurant.
You know whereabouts that one's going to be?
I think it's over in the Springs. It's going to be over by Paradiso, I think they said.
Okay.
But it's supposed to be a pretty. It's supposed to be under construction already, from what I'm hearing. Like they're ready to move. They're moving on it. So.
Yeah, the big one we noticed yesterday that looks like it's about, I would say, 70% done is the STK one. So know exactly where that one's going. That's a big old building that one's going to be in. So
How I mean, I can't wait for that. Another good stake on property. I wonder how high end that's going to be yet.
that'll probably be right up there with the boathouse, I would imagine.
So, have you eaten at the boathouse yet?
No, we haven't hit them yet. Probably might hit them on our Christmas trip. We're staying at Saratoga Springs, so it'd be nice just to walk over and hit that, and then head right back to the room. So.
Yeah, this one here is supposed to be. It's going to be relocated directly between the Springs and the Springs Town Center and the Landing.
Okay.
So it's kind of confusing for all of us right now because it's with all the construction going on. It's like, where does this end? Where does this begin? Where's the property lines? I don't know what jurisdiction everything is 100% yet with
Yeah,
all
and
the
it's
temporary walls up and all that. Do you agree with me?
yeah, I was about to say with the construction walls, there's a different path every time you're there, So you're going this direction one time, and then they've opened something else up and put construction walls that way. So it's a little confusing.
Oh, absolutely. But I can't wait. When it's all undone, it's going to be spectacular. I really think, because it already is. It's just the buildings alone, like with me being in construction, just looking at the buildings, they're beautiful. Like everything's designed, it from soup to nuts is perfect, in my opinion, from what they were going for.
Yeah, it's a really nice blend of almost like a classic Florida architecture down there now, so.
It's inviting now. It
Yep.
really is. It's like an old town square is what it reminds me of now.
Exactly, yeah, high end, but still, yeah, an old town square, exactly.
Yeah, well, I can't wait to you're on vacation, spend a little high end when you get out.
Exactly.
But it's supposed to have a sweet grass, dairy cheese, spiced pecans, grilled, backstrap pork chops, sawmill gravy, and then low country shrimp and grits, kale salads. It's supposed to have all the flavors from Florida.
Okay,
So
great.
there's going to be many. What gets me is all the older restaurants are in the background now, but there's still some great offerings. I mean, there's going to be so many different restaurants to choose from. You're going to go nuts down there.
It's hard to make a decision, that's for sure.
So, I mean, do you have any favorites in Disney Springs of the old ones?
We Tell you the truth, we eat a lot of, well, I know you hate that phrase, but I'm gonna say it anyway. Wolfgang Puck's we hit a lot. I really like the pizzas there.
You can't go wrong.
Yeah, and tell you, we don't sit down at Downtown Disney, or we haven't traditionally ate a lot of sit down dinners there. We usually hit Wolfgang Puck's or Earl of Sandwich and just get something to go. But with all the new restaurant options, we're gonna have to make some decisions and sit down, some of them, I would imagine. So,
Yeah, well, that's why you have to come to the Great Frontier because I got both of them in my park.
well, there you go.
No, but I love Wolfgang Puck's. We've eaten there quite a few times. You can't go wrong, and I've said it a million times in the show. My wife loves the pumpkin ravioli.
I've got to
So,
try that sometime. Every time we go, we just usually get a pizza, so.
yeah, we'll get a side of that and split it with your wife. You could do that. You know what I'm
Okay.
saying? Because it isn't that expensive. I mean, you take it. Sometimes I'll even do that with entrees. We'll get them instead of the appetizer because we want to try it.
Right,
And we can
right.
each split that with our own meal, like our old standby. So you could get like your old standbys, and then try another entree just to say so you could maybe find something else that you like without cheating yourself out of the one you love.
Exactly. So.
So, and then there's another new restaurant coming to downtown called the Ganachery. Have you
I
heard of
haven't seen
this yet?
No, I haven't seen that one either,
It's
so.
not a restaurant. It's high-end chocolate. It's
Okay.
another candy store coming down to Disney to the Landing area of Disney Springs, and it's owned and operated by Disney, which that's a switch for Disney Springs, that Disney owns something.
Right, as opposed to like Ghirardelli, which is, obviously a big corporation, so.
Yeah, what everybody else has been complaining about on some other shows that Disney's letting all these other companies come in instead of creating their own. But it's going to be owned and operated by Disney. The Ganachery will offer custom blended chocolates with flavors from around the world, homemade ganache, bonbons, and more. The ganachery will be very different from other candy stores at Disney Springs, with a focus here on creativity and high-end chocolate. If you have traveled to Japan, expect something similar to the chocolate boutiques found there. So that sounds good.
Chocolate boutique. Yeah, interesting, huh?
Yeah, $20 for a piece of chocolate, but you know what? We'd have to try it because we love chocolate.
Yeah, I suppose so.
So, and the other thing is what's your take on the Tables in Wonderland price hike?
To let everybody know,
you are a Florida resident, so it's different to you than to us.
Yeah, I'm a Florida resident. We live about 60 miles away, so it's close enough to go over for the day, but really not that practical to just go over there for dinner. Usually if we're going to have sit-down dinners, it's when we're down for 3 or 4 days staying at a hotel. And this last year at $100, I did the math, and it paid for itself. We did Cape May a couple of times and stuff like that, and it paid for itself. But with just one night at Cape May and then two or three at more of the, you know, even keel restaurants,
Rose and
like
Crown.
I think we're going to be priced out at 150, so I don't know if it's going to necessarily make it worthwhile to pay for. So
no, I hear you. It does. It's because, like I said on the last show that we did during the draft, we covered it briefly. I find it, like, with me and Brenda, because it's just the two of us, it's harder for us to catch up with it. We have to do more than 1 week. But the other thing, in ways, it might make you eat at a more expensive restaurant or make you change your mind because you want to get your money out of the Table in Wonderland card.
That's exactly the issue we actually had the 1 year we tried the dining plan, is that we would go to a restaurant, and because you're trying to get the value so much out of what you've already paid for, that we were ordering steak every night instead of getting the entree that we really wanted, because we were, you know, trying to get that $28, $32 item instead of, mm-hmm. you know, so we can get the value out of it. And I'm exactly afraid the same thing would happen with us with the Tables in Wonderland card. We don't want to eat at Rose and Crown. We've got to, you know, make that reservation at Le Cellier so we can get our money out of it. So
you end up spending more money anyway.
Right,
is the principle of it. And the point of it is, if you're going down, like with me and Bren, when we finally move down there, we're going to be hopefully within 15, 20 minutes. That's the goal. So it would probably be worth it because you could use it if you're going to the, like, if we found the watering hole, like the new lava lounge. Have you hit that up yet?
No, I haven't stopped in there yet.
Yeah, over it's by the rainforest in the landing. I know you know where it is.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
if we
it.
Found a place like that, or Bob and Mary, how they love over at the Laguna Bar over at the Coronado Springs. Like if we had a local watering hole where we would go once or twice, you know, once a week to have a drink and sit out and relax, it would also pay for itself because it's good for drinks and all. But if you're like you and you're not going every single week, I don't think it would pay for itself.
No, I don't think so. And with the annual passes that we have and being part of DVC, a lot of the restaurants, especially for lunch anyway, offer it's not 20%, but still a 10% discount. So, you know, then you get it, you're doing okay just there. So
yeah, and you're not using both. Now, let people know, can you use both the Tables in Wonderland and your DVC discount?
No, you can't stack them. You get the bigger one, so.
Okay, I knew that, but you like to put it out there so people know if they're already getting their discount. And then with DVC, you also get free parking, right? Don't you?
Right.
Or did they take that away from you at the parks?
No, we don't have free. Well, if we're staying, obviously, you know, staying on our point somewhere, we get
they give
free
you the parking,
pass.
But...
Yeah, but just for the day, no. Mm-mm. No, I had to get the annual pass to get the free parking, so.
That's where I find another travesty. Like, they took everything away from you guys with DVC. Like, they're totally picking the pie apart.
Yeah, it seems that way.
You know what I mean? So much more came with it when you first got it.
Right.
You know, but it's still work. I know you guys love it, because we'll talk at the end of the show about that. You guys are going to the Animal Kingdom for a few days coming up, so I'd like to cover that with you a little bit. But so you're definitely not going to get the Tables in Wonderland this year, you don't think?
Probably not. Ours is good. The one that I have now is good until I think June of next year, so we'll probably use it then, and then I don't really see us getting it again. So.
Well, it'll pay off for yourself. Are you going to eat at, I have to ask you now, being so brought up, are you going to eat at GECO this trip coming up?
I think we've got a reservation at Boma and Cape May. So
Okay.
yeah, Geco's, I don't know, my wife didn't see a whole lot on there that she would rather try a whole bunch of rather stuff rather than,
But you can't go wrong
have
with
one
Boma.
entree. So
You can't go
oh
wrong
yeah.
with Boma. So, the other thing, do you guys ever go to the Halloween parties? Have you been to Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween party this year or no?
We have plans every year, and then something comes up, or we decide just that we never make it. So no, I've never been to the Halloween party or the Christmas party, neither one. So
Well, you got to do that one of these days, Johnny. But I know you've been there for the Christmas decorations.
oh, absolutely, yeah. We go down every year to just see that, and we'll be over there at Hollywood Studios to say goodbye to the Osborne lights this year. So,
That's what I was
but
going to ask you. Is that a family favorite?
me and the wife. My son's 16 now. He doesn't have a whole lot of Disney favorites at all right now. So.
Yeah, well, that'll change. He'll probably come back to it.
I would hope so, but yeah, right now he's interested in the Wi-Fi in the hotel rooms, and that's about the extent of it. So.
Yeah, well, that's where he's kind of spoiled because it don't seem because it's right down the street, basically. I mean, an hour, but it's still like me with the Jersey Shore kind of to him.
Exactly. Yeah, we've overkilled him on it. I mean, we've been dragging him out there since he was, I think, we made the first trip at 3 weeks old. So,
Good for him.
yeah, he's got it in his blood, but he's ignoring it right now. So,
Yeah, well, it's the not cool thing for him right now.
you got it
It
exactly.
it'll change or it'll turn back around when he gets a little bit older, and it'll be cool to hang with Pops again at the parks. He's going through that little spurt now.
Yep.
So, but the other thing is, have you what was I gonna say? Where did you go last trip? Your last trip down was, you headed over to Food and Wine?
We made several short day trips over to Food and Wine Festival. So I think we've been actually into Epcot a total of 3 times now to try the different items. So yeah, well, usually we just head down, get there right at 10 o'clock, and by the time we get to World Showcase or thereabouts, they're starting opening the booths, and so we try 5 or 6 items, and then it gets very, very crowded, and we head back home again.
So you sneak in and out.
Exactly. Unfortunately, the last couple of years I've been able to take a vacation in October, and we could hit Food and Wine on like a Tuesday or a Wednesday, and there's just a massive difference between the weekends and the weekdays. This year I couldn't take that vacation, so we're hitting the Food and Wine on Saturdays and Sundays, and it's just squished with people this year. So
That's what you were saying. So your first trip down, we'll cover it in three sections because you've been there 3 times now to Food and Wine, correct?
right.
So the first trip, what were some of the highlights? What booths did you hit?
Okay. Well, you. I don't know if you guys have you covered the couple of new things they have this year, the Remy's hide and squeak
No.
little deal they have.
No, we have not.
All right. You buy a little map, and it's got a set of like 10 stickers with it. You walk around and find the different Remy's. They're hidden. They're
Oh, my
just little.
wife would love that. Her
Oh yeah.
favorite movie is I can't
Ratatouille.
Ratatouille. She loves that movie. When she's in a bad, bummed out mood, I'll go upstairs, she'll have Ratatouille on.
Yeah, I like it a lot too. I deliver Italian food, and I know a lot of chefs, and I find the whole culinary arts very interesting. So yeah, I really dig a Ratatouille.
Well,
So
that's where you made us me feel good the one time you texted me or direct messaged me telling me they were listening to our podcast in the Italian Pavilion.
there you go. You're all over the place,
Yeah, you made me happy with that. I was like, really? So continue with the Remy stickers that I
Okay.
sidetracked you on.
No problem. There's I think it was 10 or 12 different Remy statues in the different countries. One of them's on one of the food booths and stuff like that. And as you walk around, you find the Remy's, you take your sticker off and put it on the map, and then you take the map back to any of the locations where you buy them. We bought ours at up not the International Gateway, but one of the two shops up front of World Showcase right there.
Okay.
And take it back there, and they give you a pin. What you're supposed to do is you're supposed to complete it, and then they give you a Ratatouille pin. And there's a, I think, a selection of 7, 8 different pins. One of them he's with an onion, one he's with a tomato,
Yeah,
one
so you
he's
do it 7 times.
you get all seven pins, exactly. But when we bought it, it was $7.95, so that's actually cheaper than what you usually pay for a pin anyway. So but
Exactly.
when we did it, there were so many people doing it, they just give you the pin right away. It's supposed to be one of the things you complete, take it back, but they give you the pin right away. So
Okay. So what do you do? Then I'll tell us how you get how you get your stickers.
You buy it, and it really, it's just you doing it yourself. You got the stickers on your little sheet, so you're supposed to peel them off and put them on yourself. So you find the little Remy statues in the different countries, and when you find them, take a picture of them or whatever, and then put your sticker on your map. So
Okay. I didn't know if you had to grab a meal, I mean one of the entrees from one of the carts or the kiosks. I didn't know if it was Remy's favorite food. You understand what I'm saying? I was trying to figure out what they wanted you to do to claim your sticker.
I think that was supposed to be the principle of the idea or something, but just because it's so popular, they're basically just giving the pins away, so you don't really have to do anything if you don't want to. So
So basically for $56 you could buy all 7 pins.
and then have a giant collection, put them on eBay for $100 probably.
There
So
you go. You know what? This probably happened more than once.
I would imagine, yes.
So what
So
kiosks did you hit? What's some of your favorite entrees you had around the food and wine?
well, we tried the Sustainable Chew and the Chew Lab both.
And what was your thoughts on that? Bob Saikon, he had a bad experience the first time there. What was your thoughts on it?
Well, at the Sustainable Chew, we tried the spare ribs. They were okay, but a little bland.
Okay.
We had the ricotta and zucchini ravioli, and actually that was my son's favorite item of the entire day. It was really well cooked. The zucchini and the ricotta, just a nice blend. So that was really good, and a nice tomato sauce on top. So
It's nice to hear a kid like zucchini, especially a 16-year-old. Good for him.
I didn't get that one because later on we had a couple of pieces of steak, and so okay.
But
But
he did like that, huh?
he liked it a lot. I think went back and got him another one. So
Just to keep him happy being at the parks. You could have
he
parked him over at the Chew Labs and just let him eat zucchini all day.
could have sat there and used the Wi-Fi and watched YouTube and ate zucchini. He'd be
He'd have
happy.
been a happy kid.
And we tried the Chew Lab. We had the New York strip there. The New York strip itself was really good, and I like my steaks about medium, and they had actually pegged it right on, but there was two pieces about the size of a quarter a piece. So it was two bites basically is what you got.
Oh.
And
That's what I
it
think Bob said, that there wasn't enough there to appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, it was, like I said, it was cooked well, but man, it was a itty bitty small piece, and it came with mascarpone grits, and I found the grits just way too sweet to, when you're eating steak, I'd prefer something hearty, and sweet grits just I didn't care for them. So,
You
but the
didn't
steak
like the
itself was,
combination at all.
yeah, I didn't. So,
And did
but.
you just have anything else there or just that?
That's all we tried at that one.
Did cash registers work and everything?
No problems there.
That's what Bob had a problem with. They couldn't check them out.
I heard that. So,
So then where'd you head off to?
we tried the Dominican Republic, the new stuff there. Had the pork, and it was good, but you really had to blend it all with all the items. It had avocados and a couple other items with, and if you really mixed it up together and ate them all together, it was a nice combination.
So basically, the sides hid the taste of the pork, is what you're saying?
The pork, I'm finding a lot of the roast porks out there, especially from the South American or the Caribbean countries, they taste very similar.
Okay.
And they're all good, but it's just kind of a similar taste. So we had the coconut, or not the coconut, but the grouper there with the coconut sauce, and that was really good. Like
That
that one
was
a
on
lot.
my one to-do list when I go. I wanted to try the grouper.
I think my wife's number three or so.
She really enjoyed that.
Yeah,
Yeah,
she
my
really liked
problem
it.
with pork is, and even at home, I mean, literally, if I don't get a good piece where you're, if I have to chew it more than a couple times, I don't want it. I can't stand chewy pork,
I
and that's
gotcha.
the problem with it. You get it, and it's like eating, yeah, it's like eating bubble gum sometimes,
Right.
and that's not for me, man. It's not. So, but the texture was okay of it. Was it a good piece of pork?
Oh yeah, it was
Okay.
fine. It was just, like you said, just a little bland, but once you mixed it in with everything else, it was quite tasty, so.
Oh, good. So, Dominican Republic, your wife liked the coconut.
Yeah, but like the grouper, yeah,
Yeah.
she really liked it a lot, so.
And the pigeon peas and rice and all that went good together because people were on the fence of, because all the ingredients, sometimes the coconut don't sound like it goes with, you know what I mean, with grouper. But
Right.
I love trying that different options and stuff like that.
Well, I like the flavor of coconut, but I for some reason the texture, I can't stand the texture of it.
Okay.
But so this one, it's a sauce and it just has the flavor. There's actually no pieces of coconut in the sauce. So, but yeah, with that, with the flavor, it's obviously, a Dominican Republic, a tropical island, or yeah, so
It's
it.
a light. It's a light dish, is from what
Yeah,
it looks like to me.
a really good one to hit on a hot day out here. So yeah, exactly. It was light and not real heavy, so.
Yeah, nice. What would you have? What's that drink called? I'm trying to think of that drink that it's a southern drink, not a sangria. It's something else, but a nice light drink with that dish would be a perfect summer's day. Go sit on a bench and relax.
Yeah, they had a El Presidente beer there, so yeah, I actually grabbed one of those, and so it
You were living large.
was, not too bad, not too bad.
So then where'd you head off to?
We hit the Hawaii, the pork slider, always a fan favorite,
So I
but
was going to say, Bob loves the pork slider on all in WDW is always at the top of the list.
yep, it's very good, but it's exactly the same Hawaiian pork slider that I've had the last 4 years. So I mean, it's really good, and I love the I think it's mango chutney that they put on top of it, and it's or in spicy mustard or spicy mayonnaise. It's all really good, but exactly the same item that we've had the last 3 or 4 years, so.
Well, we'll let everybody know you don't know the difference between a pineapple and a mango, but it's okay.
One of them
It's
tropical fruits, how about
okay.
that?
Yeah, it has a pineapple chutney on top of
Okay,
it,
okay.
but yeah, but it's one of those things is then everybody would be mad if they took it away.
Exactly. Yeah, if we went and they didn't have it 1 year, well, I could really go for a Hawaiian pork slider.
It would
So.
be like me if they took away the Le Cellier steak, the filet mignon, or Bob with his lamb meatball.
Exactly.
The fisherman's pie. Did you have that this trip?
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I had that on our second trip. We walked in, I got that right away, and I dug into it, and I actually dug out what looked like it was most of an actual lobster claw meat. Right out of the middle of the pie.
So you were
So I
living
had
large.
that was probably the best value that I found the entire Food and Wine Festival, because it was actually bigger than the fork I was eating it with.
And tell
So
everybody where that's at.
that was in Ireland, and it's right in there, right between UK and Canada. So
Okay, just so everybody knows, that's always at the top of my list. You can't go wrong with a fisherman's pie.
absolutely not. That it was delicious, and like I said, they did not skimp on the lobster meat. So,
So, but we'll head back to day one. Where'd you head off to next?
let's see, our number one of the number one of the entire trip. Actually, it's the only one we've ate at all three times is Scotland's seared sea scallop.
Now I think I picked that on our top 25. Did you listen to that show?
Oh, absolutely,
That was
yeah.
the one that I think that was the one that was at the top of my list, the pre-show 25.
Yep.
So it didn't let you down, huh?
Absolutely not. It was our favorite last year, and then this year they just did it one step more and put crumbled bacon on top of it. So, I mean,
Oh, you
how can you
can't go
go
wrong
wrong?
with the crumbled bacon, right?
You cannot. And actually the spinach gratin they have underneath it is fantastic. So, yeah, I'm actually going to see if I can't find the recipe for that spinach gratin and make it with steak. Make it so it's a side dish for the steak or something, because it's really well too. But the scallops are just seared perfectly, and I know you're a big scallop guy, and
Oh, absolutely.
and they are one of the harder items to get done correctly, but
The key to cook a good scallop is that I find that people don't do is You got to get the oil in the pan hot. You can't slow cook, and that's with most fish. A lot of people put it in and then turn the stove on.
Right,
You
right.
know, you got to get your oil hot, got to get it smoking a little bit, then put your scallops in, because they don't take forever to cook.
No, not at all.
And then the other thing you got to do with them, too, is you got to keep basting them as you're cooking them. That's
right.
What a lot of people don't do, too. They just let them sit there and then flip them. Keep them basted. It keeps the flavor in them.
Right.
That's
right.
How I do it. If you want to come to Chef Doug's, feel free. but I do love my scallops, man. I'm glad to hear you enjoyed them.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, we've hit that one every time we've been. And every time we've had them four times now, and every one we've got's been spot on. So, and that's got to be hard to do, you know, with that many, cooking that many for that many people. But obviously they've got a couple of cooks back there, chefs back there that are very good at cooking scallops. So.
Well, me and the wife love to watch. I love Gordon Ramsay. So does Brenda. I know his language wouldn't fit the Disney podcast, so I probably couldn't interview him. There'd be a lot of beep, beep.
Yeah, exactly.
But we love his MasterChef. We also like Hell's Kitchen.
Right.
And that's his number one thing they get screamed at. It's like these chefs cannot cook scallops. He throws them at them. And it's like, and it is hard to cook scallops. It really, really is. It's you got to know what you're doing with them. You know, but when they're good, it's not much better. Like, before my wife met me, because she didn't eat a lot of seafood. She was like, her family didn't go out to seafood restaurants and stuff a lot. Like, I was into seafood, because I grew up down the shore and stuff like that. And I remember we first started dating, and I got king crab legs. And she's looking at me like, she's like, ain't that a lot of work to crack them? And I feed her, and I gave her the meat, and her eyes perked up. She couldn't believe how good it was. And then one thing led to another. The more we dated, I taught her how to crack them. And then it turned into a contest. Every time we have crab legs, we sit there and see who can bring the biggest pieces of meat out of the claws. It's like, yeah. It's fun to us. Because my wife's very competitive, too. So we'll sit there across the table like two animals showing the meat to each other, you know, looking to see who has the bigger piece of meat. And then the scallops, she never liked scallops because they were always chewy and gummy to her. They weren't cooked right. The couple times she tried them, and then I finally made them for her, and she had them out with me when they were right, and now she loves scallops, is her favorite thing. So
yeah, you guys would definitely dig the Scotland booth in, because they were really good. So.
We'd be butting in line, we'd be taking turns in the line feeding each other. But that was my pre-show number one. I got my list out. That it was the top three was the seared scallops were one, the Kahlua pork slider two, and the Le Cellier filet mignon was three that I wanted, that I had must gets for me.
Right.
So I wasn't too bad, even though you were saying the pork slider needs to change. Maybe next year they will put mango on it for you to change it up.
maybe that's the problem. I didn't know what I was eating. So
it's okay. So your second trip down, which different kiosks did you hit?
Second trip, we hit New Zealand, Australia, China, and South Korea.
And then the highlights from there?
The New Zealand venison loin. That
you
one,
did try that? I had that at 23 on the list. I wanted to try it, even though I don't like hurting Bambi.
It was that or the lamb meatball, and that lamb meatball, I know Bob talks about it all the time, and I wanted to get it, but I don't know.
You don't like lamb either?
Oh, no, actually, I love lamb. So.
Oh, well, then why didn't you get the meatball?
I don't know. Well, actually, I went.
I think me and Dennis convinced you not to eat it.
No, that ain't going to happen. No, we had just hit Australia and got the lamb chop. So I think that's why we decided to get the venison loin.
First, how was the lamb chop, Brian? You brought that up in Australia.
Okay, it was good. It's kind of like the Hawaiian pork slider. I mean, I get it every year, but it's basically the same thing I get every year. So
same old, it's good, but it's not blowing your mind because it's nothing new.
Yeah, it's nothing, you know. So that one was good. And then the venison loin, that was really interesting. And I think
it gamey tasting?
No, not at all.
They cooked it right then. Cause that's how you can tell.
They had it cooked right. And they had a really good, I think it was a marsala sauce on top of it. With some mushrooms. Yeah, so, no, it was not gamey at all. So.
Yeah, because that's the hard part of it, to get the game texture out of it. Yeah, it has a wild mushroom Marsala sauce and a Komoro dumpling. How was the dumpling?
Just kind of
Don't sound too
bland.
good.
To tell you the truth, I'm looking at it now and I'm trying to even remember the dumpling. I don't even remember the dumpling, so I'm not even sure if I got
Oh, they
one.
cheated you out of the dumpling.
Yeah, I
And if
don't
you
remember the
did get it, it
dumpling on
must
it.
not have been that good because you totally forgot about it.
Yeah, exactly. I remember the venison loin, but I don't remember a dumpling, so.
So did you and your wife split the venison loin?
Yeah, we split most of the stuff.
Okay, that's what me and Bren do.
Yeah.
And how did she like it?
She liked it a lot too. She's from Texas, and her family's they do a lot of hunting. So she's actually had venison quite often in her life. So.
So have I, and that's my point with it. Like, I grew up the same way. I went hunting just because of my father and my brother. I wanted to
Right.
be with the family. I got a brother that's 10 years older than me that it was more. I just wanted to be around them, so I did the whole hunting deal. And then, as I got older, I realized Acme and ShopRite's right down the street. Why? And I couldn't take. I would sit there and watch the animals run by me. I didn't want to shoot them. And I'm a great shot because we used to go, I could shoot clay pigeons two and three at a time. Because we would go shooting all the time. I grew up in a family of, we all, my uncles and all, we'd all, that's what we did. We took trips, we went to the hunting range, went to the rifle range, blah, blah, blah. But as I got older, I had no interest in shooting the thumper. Leave him alone. What's he doing to you?
Yeah, we live out in the middle of the woods and we get a lot of creatures around us, and I really don't want to shoot any of them, so.
No, it's just like I'll go down the store. I understand it still is meat, but I'm not doing it. And I understand it's like I just I'm not I just don't want to do it no more. It's not in me. But
Yep.
I have had a lot, and the thing of it is it all depends on the butcher that knows how to, when you, 'cause when you kill a deer, you got to know what to do with it. And then also with the different meats, they can taste really, really gamey. So, I mean, apparently they did a good job with it.
Yeah, it was really good. So,
So where'd you head to next?
did that, China. We had the beef slider.
How was that? The Mongolian beef slider?
I think it was. Let's see.
Yes, I think that's what it is.
It was the Gaoli beef slider.
Okay.
And that was really, really good. But they served it on a black sesame seed bun. And I think Bob even said this. I would have preferred to actually have it on the steamed bun that
Exactly.
they.
That's what everybody's been saying. Bob said you can ask for it that way, I think.
Yeah, and that's what we should have done. And if we go back again, well, that's what we're gonna do.
See, this is a public service announcement. Ask for the steam bun, it'll be much better.
Yep. I think it would be. So, there and then on that trip, the last one we hit was South Korea. We had the barbecue ribs there.
How were they? I just now this is me. I just don't see barbecue ribs in South Korea. I didn't see that coming.
I'd never actually tried Korean barbecue before, and
Yeah, and I'm
actually,
not being smart. I'm not even trying to be funny here. I just, when you think of Korean, I'm not thinking of barbecue. I think of
no.
Texas, I think of barbecue. And I'm not being smart. It just don't come to my mind that way. I would think more of fish and stuff. It would be me.
Yeah, I've heard of Korean barbecue before, and I had wanted to try it, and I liked the sauce, enjoyed the sauce a lot. It was kind of a had a bit of spice to it, and
The Kamachi sauce?
the actual barbecue sauce.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a little, just a little touch of spice, and actually it was quite a bit lighter than a lot of the heavy sauces that we're used to here in the States.
Okay.
And so I liked the sauce a lot, but they had cross cut the ribs. Instead of getting, one pork rib, something like that, they had cut them, I guess that would be lengthwise.
Oh, they
So,
sliced and diced them.
yeah, it was an odd way to serve ribs. Very, very strange. So instead of, having one ri rib you're eating around, you've got three discs that you're trying to eat. So every time you take a bite, you've got a disc of bone in your mouth.
Well, better than biting your finger. Be careful. You're not used to eating it that way.
Exactly. So,
So it's like a donut of rib.
well, if you were looking at a slab of ribs and you cut off the top and then you cut again and you cut again, they were sliced like that.
That's weird. Like, why would you
Yeah.
go through all that trouble?
Exactly.
I
They had
guess
to
it's
cut.
some kind of tradition. They probably look at our ribs and say, "Look at these idiots."
They had to cut through all of the bones, I guess, probably 10 or 12 times to get them to serve like that. So, yeah, I didn't understand why they would do that, but
No,
that's how
we
they were
never
cut.
will. It's probably some ancestor thing, that don't ask.
Yeah,
I'm
just
American
enjoy.
Indian. We have a lot of things that we did with the animal and stuff like that don't make sense to anybody else.
Yeah, I guess so. So
So you didn't try the roasted pork lettuce wrap with the kamachi slaw?
we had the lettuce wrap a couple years ago and found it was really good, but no, we didn't have it this year, so.
See, my wife would love that. That's what she loves. Anything like that, because she loves to eat healthy. So part of that makes it healthy to her, being it's a lettuce wrap. You follow?
There
So
you
it
go.
kind of sets
So.
it off. You're eating something healthy during the meal.
Right.
So where was your next stop?
Our surprise and probably either my favorite or next to favorite was Africa and the butter chicken.
Bob was talking about that.
Yep, it was really good, and I've never been to Sanaa, so I wanted to try this to let me know, for sure that I want to go over there and get it. So,
Yeah, you want to go get it.
yeah, I want to go get it.
From what
But
I understand, it's pretty close to the same recipe. I think it's kind of a knockoff, like the Le Cellier Filet is to get you to eat at the restaurant.
right, that's gonna do it because. But I'd always heard butter chicken, and for I don't think I've ever I had.
Me neither. Butter on chicken don't sound too appetizing to me.
I had never seen
It's
a
kind of like
picture of
peanut
it,
butter on
so.
steak.
Yeah, and it's not what I envisioned it as. It's more of a chicken stew. So, and it was just fantastic. So.
Yeah, that was right up there with the fisherman's pie for you, huh?
Yep. I think my three favorites were the butter chicken, the seared sea scallop, and the fisherman's pie. So.
Oh, there you go. You were living large. What did the wife share this with you too? What was
Yeah,
her
and
thoughts
we.
on it?
She loved it. Thought it was great, and that was one. I think that's one we went back and got another one. So,
You can't go wrong. When you go back and get another one with all the other options there, you know it's good.
exactly. Yep. So,
So on day three, which places did you hit up?
Morocco, France, and Canada, and
Did you
got
had the
my.
Le Cellier Filet? You
Yep.
can't go. That's kind of like tradition. You can't go to that to Food and Wine without the Le Cellier Filet.
Exactly. So,
It never lets you down. And that was the same as it's been the last 10 years, right?
yeah, that was
I'm
there.
just kidding. That don't change, but I don't hear you complaining about
No, it's exactly
that.
the same, but so is steak that we eat every week. So, it's still good. So,
Yes,
but
it don't get much better than that filet.
yeah, it seemed like the first year I had it, it came with risotto, and you don't get the risotto anymore. So, but you just get the piece of steak and the mushrooms, which is still good, but it was really nice when you got a little touch of that mushroom risotto with it too.
My wife absolutely loves that mushroom risotto. She could go to Le Cellier just to eat the mushroom risotto.
It's really good. So yeah, I was kind of disappointed that you didn't get that anymore, but.
I bet it's one of those things where, and we've made risotto. I don't know if you guys make it, but it has to be just right. It's a very finicky kind of dish. And I don't know if it's sitting outside the elements and all, or serving it like that constantly with the elements is a good idea. So I think
Right.
you get it good, and it's one of those things you go back a half hour later and it's drier, or it's not as
Yeah.
good. I think it's hard to keep that consistent through the entire day, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And all the side dishes like that, they're in big pans and on chafing dishes and stuff. And so, yeah, you're probably right. It would dry out very quickly, so.
Yeah, that's why I think maybe they did away with that. I mean, I'm not sure. Just me sitting here, an idiot in my office recording in the WDW Main Street Studios. But, I just think it would be hard to keep that up to standards the entire day.
Right.
So, where'd you head to next?
Let's see, Morocco.
And what did you get good there?
We had the kefta pocket, and
What was your
that's like,
thoughts?
it was good. Really the reason we stopped in Morocco was the lines were short. So,
Dang, that's a good, they probably appreciated that. Did you tell them that when you got up there? Your line was short, so I'll take a A Kefka pocket.
The Kefta pocket and the Harissa chicken roll. So, but well, we've ate at Spice Road Table twice, and I really like their food.
Whose recommendation was that?
What's that?
Did you eat there because of our recommendation?
Actually, I think I ate there before
come on,
last
I wanted
year.
to take credit. I'm kidding with you.
Taking credit anyway, right? So.
Yes, I'm kidding with you. But isn't it good there? I think it's a hidden gem.
Yeah, I like it a lot. We ate at the one Tangerine, or not Tangerine Cafe, but the we eat there all the time. I love Tangerine Cafe too. But
you just like the belly dancer.
That's the one in the back.
Yeah, I know. You sneak in there.
That one we didn't care for. We ate it.
Neither
the one in
did
the back.
We, and we tried it. And I mean, and the belly dancer was good, but I was more worried about my food.
Yeah.
You know.
It was not. I think they tried to, hate to say the phrase, but dumb it down for us. So the flavors were just not there. I had a lamb shank or I think it was a beef shank, and it was just overcooked and bland. So as opposed to both Tangerine Cafe and Spice Road Table that are, everything's good there. So
yeah, Marrakesh, I enjoyed trying it. But and then the thing that bummed me out was is like I said, the belly dancer, she was nice, she was good, but I had my wife. That's who I look at the entire time. I love my wife. I was into a good meal, and we just were let. It was okay. The seating wasn't great where we were, but the thing that got me was the food was decent. But you go to Morocco and you're thinking the baklava is going to be out of this world when I got it at the end because we were on the free dining plan at the time.
Right.
And that's the only time we really use the dining plan is when it's free. And really, I think the room discount's better, but we usually do the dining plan just the way the food's taken care of. It's something nice about having that when you're there, but it's not worth buying it, I don't think, anymore. But I got the baklava, and it was dry. It was horrible.
Yeah, that's not good.
No, and I was waiting for it because it was one of those – because we were on the dining plan, me and the wife were geeking out over desserts. It was the first year that we ate at Yak and Yeti, and we got the fried wontons. So we were all into desserts that week because we never would buy desserts before because we're the type, once we eat our meal, we're full. But you get the dessert for free, you have to eat it. So
right.
We were there for 7 nights of desserts, and we got to Morocco. We're all into, she got a dessert, I got a dessert. We were both bummed out. No, we weren't happy with the desserts there.
No. I think that's the same experience we had with the baklava. So
yeah, it wasn't great. But the food wasn't good. You weren't over the top here. Or?
The stand outside at the Harissa chicken roll was actually really good.
Did it remind you? Was it like the same one you get at Spice Road?
Yeah. It was
that is
exactly
awesome
the same.
Kind of
looked like
awesome
an egg
there.
Roll, but yeah. That one was good. The Kefta pocket, the ground beef seemed to be overcooked. It was seasoned well, but it seemed to be overcooked, and I think that was an issue probably with why there was no line, or you know, no line, so the food's been sitting for too long. So
it's weird though. I mean, have you noticed that Spice Road Tables has been picking up with the guests? Because I don't want that place to go away, and for some reason people stay away from Morocco, and I think it's wrong because the food there is incredible. And we ate at Spice Road Tables the last time down, and it wasn't packed at all.
There was quite a both times or several times that we walked past it, I've seen more people actually sitting in there than we've seen before. So
good, I'm glad because it's a hidden gem, and the prices are good. I know Mrs. All and WDW got upset because they changed a couple, they turned the entrees around because of the dining plan. That's the reason they did it. They had to make it to where the meals they changed it around to make the meals look like it was worth a dining credit. They had to make entrees.
Right.
And that's where, you know, she got upset because they took something off the menu that you could grab by itself instead of being, now it's in an entree, and she didn't think the entree was worth it.
Right.
So, but I love Spice Road Tables. And there's something about that, the Hirashi chicken roll. Even though it's like an egg roll, doesn't the roll itself taste, the texture is different. I think it's better.
It looks exactly like an egg roll, but the texture is different, and it's definitely got a different wrapper on it, and it tastes totally different. I mean, obviously, that doesn't have a cabbage in it and stuff. So, I like that a lot.
Yeah. It was the mixed grill skewers. Did you try them at Spice Road Tables?
Yeah, when we ate there, it was when they were offering, you were saying that she was upset with, it was the three different options you could have. And
Yeah,
I,
it was
yeah.
the trio.
Right. Yeah, that's what we had, so.
Yeah, the small plates, and you got that with it. Now they changed it where they took that off of there, and she really enjoyed that. Now it's $28.
Right.
And when you were getting it for, $12 with the trio, it made a big difference. You know what I mean? So, but
Right.
where did you guys head off to next?
France.
And how was that? The braised sweet ribs, short ribs, I mean.
We had the beef. I think it was beef bouillon.
Oh, okay.
That and the escargot.
Okay, you didn't try the braised short ribs, huh? You didn't try them at all?
Well, let's see.
That's what I was looking forward to trying, the braised short ribs.
I'm looking. Are you sure that France had the short ribs this year?
Yeah, I thought it was the braised short ribs. Hold
They had
on,
a.
guys, we're having techno.
Yeah, I'm looking through my.
He's looking it up. It's the beef bouillon. Yeah, they are
Yes.
braised short ribs. That's what it's
Okay.
considered. That's where we were
Okay.
confused.
Yes. Let's clear it up. Yes, that's what we had.
Yeah.
So,
The
yeah, we had that.
bolognese, which is the braised short ribs, and a cabernet sauvignon with mashed potatoes.
Yep.
How are the potatoes? Were they lumpy?
No,
Because I'm
they weren't.
a mashed potato connoisseur. I'd be like the wine sommelier with the mashed potatoes. That's how much I love mashed potatoes. They have to be
They were
just
good.
right for me.
They were good and a perfect, obviously a perfect mix with that nice, heavy, sauce on the short rib. So yeah, that was a very good meal. The escargot was very good and the creme brulee was. I'd skip out on
So
the
you
creme
like
brulee, but
snails?
yeah. And it's actually the only time that we ever eat them. I mean, usually don't go to Outback and get snail escargot. So,
Nah.
but yeah.
Outback or Applebee's, you're not getting snails.
You don't find them on the menu too much,
So how was
but
it? How's the texture of them? Did you like it?
well, it's in a croissant this year, and it's they're basically
So nothing
cooked.
could taste bad in a croissant.
No, it's in a croissant, and all you really taste, just like the other years, is the garlic and the butter.
I mean, one of the things that made me fall in love with my wife, she started making me these. It was love at first sight with my wife. So let me make that made me love her more. Was she used to make me pepperoni croissants, and I never had them before. And she would bake them for me, and it's like made of a man's heart is his stomach, and
There
they
you
were good,
go.
man. So you can't go wrong with a croissant.
Nope, and even if it yeah the with the escargot in it was great, and it's kind of funny the like we were saying, I can't find a lot of places with escargot, but that's one of the things that my son's had out there every year since we've been dragging him out to the Food and Wine Festival, so that's one thing he gets every year and loves. So 16-year-old son just loves the escargot, so.
Escargot, and he's loving the Chew Lab. Your boy has a good palate, at least.
He
It
had
isn't
that
cheeseburgers
and
and fries all the time.
yeah, he had that, the ravioli and the cheddar cheese soup, and he was good to go.
He was living
So
large.
yeah, that's his three favorites, so.
So, were there any other standouts from your three trips, your three different trips here to Food and Wine?
I tried the but I had a flight of beer at the Brewers Collection, and both flights over the 3 days, not all at one time now,
Well,
but
I wouldn't know about you, John.
yeah,
You were
and the
driving back and forth, so I see it. Now, if you were staying on property, you might have gone for
well, when we get back out at the Animal Kingdom Lodge, and I can take that bus right back to the room. Yeah,
it.
but yeah, I had the two different flights at the craft beer place, and then I had the one flight at the Brewer's Collection. So
Okay, which one did you like more?
the Brewer's Collection is quite a lot better. They were
Well,
all German beers, German heritage, so I really dig the German beers. And they have my favorite beer out there year round is the Schaffenhofer, which is the German beer blended with grapefruit juice.
You like that, huh?
Oh, I love it. And they have that all year, but this year on the in the flight they had the same beer but blended with lemon, and it was actually really good too. So
You like
that
them
one was,
designer beers then?
I like that one. And it really depends. And I like it because I like grapefruit juice. So
Okay, yeah,
it's an
see, I don't like me no grapefruit juice.
you wouldn't care for it a whole lot then.
No, it's too bitter for me, man.
Yeah, I love that stuff. And so the German beer flight was fantastic, but the flight I both flights I had at the other stand, I didn't care for at all.
Okay.
And yeah, like you said, I'm kind of a beer snob. I drink a lot, or I like to try a lot of different ones, and the other ones, they weren't to my palate.
Okay.
So
See, my
yeah.
beer flight dream would be a Peroni from Italy and a Molson Canadian from Canada, and I'd be happy. That's my beer, and then a Coors Light from the American Pavilion. I'm living large. That's my stuff. That's what I had last night. Me and the wife made salmon. We did salmon, dirty rice, and peas last night, and I had myself a nice Peroni. I like a Peroni, and because it makes me think of Disney World.
No, there you go.
Yeah, I keep
Yes.
Peronis and I keep Canadian Molsons in the fridge. I don't drink a lot, but when I do, I always have 5 or 6 ice cold glasses in the freezer. So you gotta have a frosted mug. You can't go
Yes.
wrong with a frosted mug and a nice Peroni with a nice piece of salmon. I was living large last night.
Sounds good.
So, now you're looking forward to your trip coming up at the Animal Kingdom Lodge. What are some of the highlights you're looking forward to? And
We've
you've
got.
stayed there before, first of all.
Yeah,
Okay.
we've stayed there, I think, 3 times, 4 times.
Okay.
And it's one of those places, that we would have never stayed at with not having DVC.
Okay.
If I hadn't got DVC 4 or 5 years ago when we got into it, I think the nicest, well, I mean, and nothing wrong with Port Orleans, but that would have been, that's where we had stayed at, and that would have been the absolute pinnacle of my staying out at Disney World. I can't see spending $400 or $500 a night to, to stay at the Boardwalk or Beach Club or Animal Kingdom, and buying into DVC. It is, I'm sure I'm spending that much, but it's a lot easier. You know what I
Oh,
mean?
well, it's
So.
already paid for. It's kind of like I said with the dining plan. It ain't worth it in some ways, but it's also it is because you already paid for it, so let's go.
Exactly. So.
But no, it's a beautiful resort. We've stayed there a couple times now, and this is even before I became a travel agent. I found some good deals. Like the last time we stayed there, we stayed for $127
You
a night.
can't beat that at all,
No, it
huh?
was a special running, and what happened was is I had just hurt myself on the job. I sliced my thumb open, and the doctor told me I shouldn't work, but I was going to work anyway because I'm self-employed. But I was in the USA Today, and it came across there was a special. It was in their travel section, and it was just if you read the paper, they had rooms for $127 a night. So I called and I got the room right away. I got a week there because she said, let's go to Disney World. And she had to tell me twice. And I seen this promotion, so we went. And that was the first time we stayed there. And it was so awesome. When we went down, and I tried to call like a week later to get somebody else wanted the rooms. They were gone. I mean, for
Yeah, I
that
bet.
price, you knew it was gone, but it was a special. So the couple times we stayed there, it was special. And I understand what you're saying. The price point is high. It's at the Wilderness Lodge are about the same amount of money. They're at the lower end of the deluxes, but they're still very expensive.
Right.
Like with me, if I would buy DVC if they, I hope they do it. I would love to see them do a moderate at Riverside. I'd be in heaven.
Yeah, I would too. I absolutely love that resort. I love taking the boat down to Disney Springs.
It's going to take forever to say Disney Springs, isn't it? You
I
get it
got to
mounted in
think
your
about it
brain.
every time.
Yeah,
So,
MGM Studios, right?
yeah, that one's still stuck in my head too. So,
So you guys, when you go back, even though you've stayed here before, have you eaten at Boma before?
we ate at Boma one time. So we're looking forward to that. And
And there's nothing on the menu that the wife would like at and Mrs. Peters would like at the Animal Kingdom, huh? At GECO.
Probably, but I think she's more interested in trying a whole bunch of items rather than just
No, I
staying
hear
with
you.
one entree, say.
Boma's awesome. Boma's I think one of the best restaurants on property, especially for the value of what you get for your. You got to eat though.
Yes.
You have to eat at that. You have to really enjoy that buffet. Like, sit down, take 5 minutes, and then go back in for more.
Right. And then, but that lobby smells so good all the time, both from Jiko and Boma, cooking the food. So that's one of the best smelling lobbies, I think, in all of Walt
Oh,
Disney
it's
World. So,
ridiculous. And they got the coconut chicken curry soup I enjoy there. The buttered seafood is really good. I mean, there's so many. The thing of it is with that restaurant is, like you were saying with your wife, it seems like there's a gazillion options to try.
right.
There's multiple different salads, like spinach and quinoa salad. I mean, where else are you going to get that?
Right,
You
right.
know, that's the thing. There's so many options on this, on that, on the menu there that you can't go wrong with Boma. And you're going to try Sinai?
No, I think we're I don't I wanted to, but I think she's got me talked into going back to Cape May for the other night. So, go back and hit our crab legs.
Well, you guys do love that. Hopefully you get them. They don't take them off the menu.
Well, I'll double check before I go over there because that's where we get our, that's how we pay for the dinner is to sit and eat them crab legs. So.
Nah, you can't go wrong with the crab legs. Cape May Cafe is a wonderful restaurant. Another nice buffet. So you guys do like the buffets.
At Disney World, not a big Golden Corral
Nah,
fan, but.
you're like me, man, because I'm a germaphobe. So I trust them at Disney, but I don't. My problem is I get full too fast. See, I'm the guy that eats 10 times during the day when I'm at Disney, but I can't eat a lot. I hate that full feeling. Like with me doing construction, I sit there and look at the guys. Like my one buddy Mike used to eat a classic hoagie, like a full size hoagie, and he'd get a large mac and cheese, and then he'd wonder why after lunch he could barely move. I mean, I said, dude, it's like you're eating Thanksgiving dinner and expect to go to work.
Yeah, I can't do that either. Especially when during a work day in the heat and stuff, you can't eat a big giant lunch and then expect to get right back to work. So.
Yeah, it's not me. I mean, that's why Food and Wine is perfect for me, because I could just pick, roam the countries, do a ride, pick again, roam, do, like burn off the calories. I hate that totally stuffed feeling.
Yeah, what we were I think we did all 3 times we were out there is we'd eat a little. I think we picked up 2 or 3, and then we'd actually go out through the International Gateway, make that walk all the way around Boardwalk and the Yacht
Okay.
and Beach Club, go in the shops, and maybe catch the magician over there on Boardwalk, and then head back in, and then hit another 2 or 3.
Okay, yeah,
So.
you walked off your fill-ups. You ran out the tank to go back and fill up again.
Exactly. So.
But you get to see other things. That's a lot of things that I think many people don't take advantage of it, walking out in that boardwalk area when they're over at Epcot. I just think it's an extension of Epcot myself.
That's how it's really starting to feel. I mean, since we stayed over at Boardwalk one time, you realize how nice it is just to stroll around there. And actually, on a busy day at Epcot, it's great to just get away from the crowds for a little bit. There's a couple of spots over in them lobbies where you can just sit down and recharge a little bit, you know?
Absolutely, and that's the thing of it. It's like you still have that Disney feeling. Like you still feel wonderful because you're on Disney property. I don't feel like I'm missing anything. Just
No.
as long as I'm roaming around property, I'm happy. And like you said, if it's really crowded, it's really nuts. That's what I say all the time too at the Magic Kingdom. I don't think enough people, like they'll say there's not enough sit-down restaurants in the Magic Kingdom. I don't know why people don't go over to the Wave or go to the California Grill or head over to Ohana. I mean, go to the Floridian or leave. Go to the Wilderness Lodge. Take a boat. Go to Roar. I mean, and have a nice lunch over there, and then get out of the crowds and come back.
Exactly.
Not enough people do that. And when I'm selling them trips or helping them out with, that's why I say it don't cost any more to use me. Why not pick my brain? I'm insane with the place. You know what I mean? I mean, I'll tell you things you probably wouldn't even think of. And it's like, why don't you use those restaurants? I mean, those hotels. I think they're an extension of the park.
Exactly. Yeah, and especially the Contemporary, you don't even have to take the monorail there. You could just walk right over to it. So.
We walk over there all the time. We walk from there all the time. We do lunch and then go in the parks. And I love roaming over to Contemporary. Like I said, you still feel like you're in the park. To me, I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything.
Nope, you're still in the bubble. So
Yeah.
that's the important part. So
You still got your happy mind on. You're in a good place.
exactly.
So after you get done your Animal Kingdom visit, maybe you come back and do a report on that. Then tell us how you enjoyed your meals, what you did, how'd you like the lodge, anything changed this trip, or if you want to hop on. And then we're hoping to do something at the end of the year to get you back on with us.
All right, that sounds good. I'd be happy to, and even if after my trip and we're going back out for Saratoga Springs in December, if you want, we'd come back on after that and maybe talk about some of the Christmas decorations and stuff
Absolutely. I
that we'll
mean,
see.
we're going to
So.
be doing multiple Christmas shows. You can't talk enough about Christmas down there in the world. It's incredible. It's
Yep,
absolutely
it's
incredible. And what
one of our
weeks are you
favorite
going
times.
down
So.
there?
It's the second week of December, first or second week of December. We just got a Saturday and a Sunday night.
Oh, that'll be awesome. Yeah, we'll definitely do a Christmas show with you.
Okay.
What's your favorite park at Christmas time?
The Magic Kingdom.
Absolutely. Epcot's a
Yeah.
close set. I love Epcot and I always love Epcot because of the countries, but isn't it wonderful how they celebrate? You get to see how every country celebrates Christmas.
Yeah, I really dig the different Santa Clauses that have they come out and
Oh,
the
seeing the
different
Canadian
folk
Santa in
tales.
his flannel,
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
awesome.
I always feel so bad for him though if we're having one of our warm days and it's near 85 and that poor guy's wearing so much clothes,
I feel a little bad, but I'm usually coming from here where it's like 22 and I'm freezing, so I don't feel too bad for him.
Yeah, actually Epcot used to be my favorite, but it was years ago they used to have the what were they called? The lights of winter or something. The Christmas lights they used to have
I
on the
know what you're
way
talking
to
about.
World Showcase. Yeah, and they've took those down. So I guess Magic Kingdom is my favorite now. So, but
You can't go wrong with any of them, and I'm looking forward to on your land. I want you to do the other reason I want to talk to you too. You said you went over to the Animal Kingdom. I forgot to ask you, how's River Lights looking?
you can see where they've got the stadium seating. I would say that's probably looks to be about 40 or 50% done, and then they've got all kinds of cranes everywhere. You can't really see that they're where they're putting anything into the water yet or anything of that sort.
Okay.
But I think there was seven cranes over there building Pandora and Avatar Land,
Oh, I seen
and
that the other day because I'm when I can't get down there, I watch YouTube videos all the time. Right now, when we're recording, I have the flat screen on playing Food and Wine.
there you
So I
go.
always have Disney going on. I have a 55 incher in the office, and that's always playing while I'm recording because it inspires me. And the
Exactly.
other day I was eating and I was watching the cranes there. It's crazy how many. I don't know how them cranes in that small area. There's some real geniuses that are working them to get to not interfere with each other.
Yeah, they've got them all squished in there and the construction, I'm thinking, and maybe it's going to be the floating mountains that we saw yesterday. That there's a building that looks an awful lot like the Soaring building, and so I'm guessing that's going to be where the flight simulator is going to be,
Okay, yeah, the one
that
that they
ride.
keep Joe Rohde keeps saying that it's going to make Soarin' seem like an old product is the way he's
Right.
putting it.
So. I see well, we're seeing that building and it looks to be almost done. But there's a construction next to it that is taller than it, and that building is probably 4 or 5 stories tall. And then the construction next to it is taller than that. And so I'm guessing that's what they're building there is the floating mountains.
I can't wait for it, man. You know what an Animal Kingdom geek I am. I was hoping that the River of Lights would be done. I was trying to stall the draft long enough for me to be able to take it.
And be able to get that,
Absolutely. So next year's draft, I'll definitely have more of my Animal Kingdom stuff. Maybe what we'll do is I'll talk the guys into keeping our parks the way they are and just add in all the new stuff to them.
there you
Like we're
go.
adding a land to it. So.
I know Dennis will be happy to take the Frozen ride once it opens on Sunday.
Yeah, we pick on him like that. The thing of it is, and I'll stick up for him here. He does love Frozen. He just don't want it in Norway.
I absolutely agree with him. I every time he says that, I understand completely where he's coming from. I don't mind the characters being in Epcot, especially the ones that, you know, are the folk stories, folk tales that come from that country, you know? Like, if Pinocchio was actually in Italy, that would be fine, because Pinocchio is from Italy,
like I
you know?
Said, and we want Remy in France more.
Yeah,
I would like to see I would love to see a show in France, and Disney picked my brain, but why don't you do some kind of cooking show with a Remy that helps kids eat healthy?
That would be cool.
You know, like it's like, remember how Food Rocks used to be, but make it cool? You know, don't have to be all that crazy singing and everything, but maybe you have a little theater there where the kids come in and Remy and a chef shows kids how to eat healthy.
Yeah, I'd love to see some type of Remy in the parks, but
absolutely. But I'm on the side of, and I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid, and I love Lou Mangiello. I'm not totally on, like, because he'll tell you that all the parks, all of Epcot was supposed to have some kind of character deal with it to begin with, the original thoughts. But my whole thing is I believe in them, and I want to see it before I pass total judgment on it. Because I'll be honest with you, I love Maelstrom, and my favorite saying that you say, at the end of the day, there was things that could have been improved on it, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, basically, the movie everybody walks through.
Yeah, that was true.
It's kind of short. I mean, it's fun because it's nostalgic to us. It has memories to us, which makes it great. But the ride itself, it isn't. It's a great ride because there's not much to compare it to in Back of World Showcase. Yeah, am I wrong?
Nope, you're right.
And I don't want to get yelled at because I do love it. I feel bad for Bob and Dennis and all, and I know they love it and that, like, they have a lot of memories with it. But my favorite memory is scaring my sister-in-law, making her think it was like Splash Mountain. But she wouldn't go on it. She won't do Splash, and everybody told her it's easy. And then I had her convinced that we were all lying to her. When we started climbing that big – we were climbing to go up the descent, you know what I mean? I'm squeezing my wife's hands. Friend, hold on, and she's thinking that it's a drop on the other side. That's the most excitement I had, and then she really thought we were going out the window. You know, when the boat backs up.
Yep.
You know, but I don't know. I'm looking forward to see what they do with it, and it will be more kid friendly, which I know everybody thinks it should be all adults, and I don't have kids going with me, but I get it.
Yeah, well, you know, Disney could have avoided all of this trouble. I bet you hindsight's 2020, but if they would have just actually set Frozen in Norway instead of making up a mythical kingdom of Arendelle, you know, if they had just said, hey, this happened in Norway, well, then we wouldn't even have – there would be no debate.
you're 100% right, but only me and you're both Monday morning quarterbacks now, which they should have did that. But it's kind of hard for them not to. But you're right. It would have made things a lot simpler. Nobody could argue then.
And nobody would have. You wouldn't even. Nobody would have had a foot to stand on when it came to an argument. Well, it happened there, so okay.
No, so. But the thing of it is they had to do. I mean, they had to do something over there. I mean, everything is getting long in the tooth at Epcot, to be honest with you. And I love Epcot. I don't need the rides. Because I love World Showcase so much. But if you think of everything, yeah, finally, I mean, Test Track is great, but Soarin's finally getting upgraded. The park, really sadly, and then you, are you a big Michael Jackson fan?
It's been a long time. No, I actually, Captain EO was out there when I was a teenager, and I remember seeing it. And I had wanted to go see it again just to remind myself and stuff like that, and I still have never gotten over to see it. So, obviously, it's not my favorite. So.
No, I mean, you have to agree with me. Captain EO and Primeval World are the two worst rides in the park. Do you like Primeval World?
No.
Okay.
No,
okay.
I didn't
so you're
care
still
for it all.
You're an official – Main Street, you're allowed in the Main Street Pub Club, as long as you don't like that. So
actually, I don't mind Stitch. I know that one gets a lot of flack, but I used to love Alien Encounter. So, Stitch isn't too bad. So.
I don't hate Stitch either. He's okay. At least he's a Disney character. He's Disney born. I mean, he's like the bad kid you still gotta love. You know, because he's part of the family. You can't get rid of him. But now. Primeval World, it just drives me nuts because it wasn't even made by Disney. It's like, and I bring it up on most shows because I don't like it.
No, we walked past it yesterday. That whole I don't know. I understand the theming of Chester and Hester's area, Dino Land. I get what they're going for and everything, but it just does not feel like the Disney to me when we walk through there. You know, it feels so out of place. I feel like I'm.
Well, to me, my point was with that, and before I keep us going, we're getting long in the tooth on our soapbox here. My point was that is the whole reason Walt built these parks was not to have that kind of park.
That's exactly what I was thinking when I was walking through it yesterday.
I mean, he said with his kids thinking, I need something good, and then they go and put that. It's like the carnival that he built Walt Disney because of.
Exactly. here's why Walt built Disney to get away from this.
Exactly. That's why I'm like, every time I go through there, I scratch my head to go to Dinosaur. You know, so. But, John, it's been wonderful having you on. Thank you for sitting in with me. I appreciate it. Hope we get Dennis back next week. I'm hoping soon. And we look forward to talking to you again, Johnny.
All right, sounds good. I appreciate you having me on.
And please, if everybody can, please go over to iTunes and leave us a review. We'd really, really appreciate it. Even if John wants to go over and yell at us, we appreciate it.
That sounds good.
But anybody, please go leave us a review on iTunes. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. And we will talk to you guys real soon. Well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Dan's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. This show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact the Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.